The content of this program is meant for educational purposes only, because knowledge is power. However, the controversial subject matter discussed may not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, staff, or its advertisers.
Welcome back to the Power Hour. I'm Eden Gorton-Hill, and it's Friday, August the 9th. And ladies and gentlemen, if you are watching, yes, we are dancing. It is Feel Good Friday. And I want to welcome over to the show my dear friend, also a best-selling author, also an author of books I can never put down. This is Kimberly Woodhouse, and she is in the great state of Colorado, and I tell you what, she has a power pack. If you look behind her, if you are watching the show, you see all of the books. You see everything that she's doing, and she has so much to tell us this afternoon now. What time is it? Yes. Okay, I'm hyped up on coffee and Jesus. There you go. Kimberly, welcome to the show. I'm so glad that you're here.
Thank you so much. I just adore you and just love everything you do. Thank you.
Aw, thanks. Right back at you, sister. Oh my gosh, it's been too long since we've seen each other. So thank you for letting me cancel our prayer date to do the radio show.
That's okay. I love it. This is great. At least I get to see you. Makes me
happy. Absolutely. So I would love for you to share with our audience, as we are on Feel Good Friday, we talked about the Reagan movie coming out. We talked with Cheryl Chumley from the Washington Times about her new books coming out and some of the political, you know, space. But let's talk about your Alaskan cybersecurity book series and the new one that's coming out and how you jumped into the cybersecurity space. There's so many things to talk about.
There are so many things. So actually, this series started, and Eden, I know you know this, but it started in my mind in 2009 because my husband, who says he's not a creative, right? And he actually is one of my best brainstormers. And it's so funny because he rolled over one night and he said, I have an idea. And I'm like half asleep going, huh? What? And he said, what if all the power in Alaska goes out when it reaches 26 below? And so then I'm awake and, you know, the eyeballs are spinning. The brain is just going 20 miles an hour and he goes right back to sleep. You know, he's like, I gave you my idea. That's it. And so this series has been very near and dear to my heart because it's been one of those that's been this long-term simmer, you know, in my mind. Mm-hmm. And I had all of this premise and I just needed some technology and some things to really happen and to, I guess, progress. Kind of like, I'm not as cool as George Lucas, but, you know, George Lucas said he had to wait for the right time, you know, for Star Wars, for technology. So funny thing is my daughter married one of my best friend's son, and he is a cybersecurity expert. And he's way up in the Army, and he does all kinds of very cool things that we can't talk about. And I call him my high-value target because, you know, it's really cool. You know, he has all of these specialized certifications and all these cool things for cyber. And there's lots of things that he will tell me, and then I'll ask him for details. And, of course, you know, I can't know that stuff, so sadly. But it was a whole lot of fun to smush these two worlds, you know, this book, mm-hmm. this series that I'd had the idea for, and it had been simmering for a long time, and the cybersecurity was the final perfect piece. Mm-hmm. And so Stephen has been wonderful, and he's actually been a really good brainstormer as well, helping me to come up with all of the different facets and to make sure that I also got everything right in that field, because the more I learned, the more I wanted to run away and live in the woods and, you know, turn all of this stuff off all the time. Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, let's talk about the Alaska piece, too. Let's share with the audience that you guys live there.
Yes.
So a lot of what you bring in 26, okay, 26 down,
26 no, below,
26 below, 8 down, and 70 north, right?
Good job.
Woo! Okay.
Good
okay.
job.
And I've read them all, even though 70 north is not out yet, you guys, but you have to go reorder it. Okay, here we go. So you guys lived in Alaska for a time. Talk to us about how you brought that to life through this book series.
Well, for me, Alaska, I've always taught in classes, like when I'm teaching on writing, that your setting needs to be strong enough to be another character. Now, if you can take the plot and the story and the characters out of your setting and plop them somewhere else, and the story where your setting is not very strong. And Alaska, to me, is nice. And living in Alaska, we lived in the bush and we also lived in the city. So we've experienced kind of all of the facets of Alaska and we've been all over Alaska. It is such a fascinating place and so many people get it wrong. And I have to laugh because we're from South Louisiana and our daughter has a nerve disorder and couldn't sweat. So we moved to Alaska from Louisiana, right? Everybody in Alaska thought we had alligators for pets, you know, and we got around in P-Rows and we lived on swamps. And everybody in Louisiana, when we moved to Alaska, were like, you're going to have 6 months of darkness, you know, and everybody lives in igloos. So you know, we had it wrong with what we think, you know, and the stereotypes that we have. So I have such a passion for writing about Alaska after living there because the people are so dear to me and Alaskans are full of pride and patriotism and they just want people to get it right about their state. People don't.
No, absolutely. So can you walk the audience through some of the adventure, but don't give it all away. Some of the adventure of the first two, and then 70 North comes out. Is it October or November?
October.
October, okay. So what I want the audience to do here at the Power Hour is I want them to go on Amazon and go ahead and buy the first two, and then I want them to go ahead and pre-order 70 North. I already have the PDF copy, but I have in my Amazon box the 70 North, and I have it already pre-ordered along with – oh my goodness, every other book. But this is the thing, you guys. This is the thing. When you guys go and read Kimberly's books, I guarantee it will take you. I mean, they are phenomenal. You want to enjoy them, but you cannot put them down. That is all there is to it. So I want you to go to Amazon right now and order the first two and then pre-order 70 North. But can you share a little bit? The suspense piece is really what gets me, the suspense aspect to this. And you also integrate faith, which I absolutely love. And you don't have to do all of those things, but you do them anyway. And it brings the book to life. It brings the characters to life. Can you give a little snapshot to the audience about the characters and how you intertwine the faith piece and that suspense piece that keeps you on your seat?
Oh, that's a good question. That's a really good question. Very detailed. I love it.
I mean, I can answer it, but I want you to.
I almost want to hear you answer it just to see what you would say.
Well, so, I'll tell you. No, go ahead.
26 Below, using my husband's idea of what if all the power went out when it hit 26 Below. Obviously, I had to think of a plot that came, you know, around around that. But what I used was because we lived among the Native Alaskans, Aleut people, for quite a while. And so I used a Native Alaskan woman in it that you really have to read the book to understand her story and the backstory and what's going on with her. But she believes that she has heard this prophecy that bad things will happen when it hits 26 below. We have to be prepared. So that's one little piece of the puzzle. And then we have the heroine, who is Darcy. Mm-hmm. And she has come in to this new situation as the new emergency operations director. And what was fascinating to me was working with Stephen and understanding like what he did with the Jack Voltaic project with the Army. And if you really want to, you know, go down a rabbit hole and read lots of really cool information that's way over my head, you should go look up the Jack Voltaic project and what the Army did with that and what they're still doing with that, training cities and governments and everybody, you know, how to prepare, because terrorism is not just bombs and airplanes flying into the Twin Towers anymore. Terrorism, cyber is huge and just can shut everything down. So using that element of understanding what these people do. So Stephen actually put me in touch with a woman who actually does this position for a city. and what it takes. Because if you shut down communications, if you shut down all the utilities, if you shut down all of this, and, you know, emergency operations, how do they communicate if you shut down?
Right, exactly.
You know, what? How do we handle things? How do we get things going again? And like in this case, if the power goes out at 26 below, how do you keep people from dying?
Right.
So there was this, that's another huge piece of it. And she's got a huge backstory and a lot of hurt in her life. So Darcy is a huge piece of the spiritual arc in this book, because we have to follow her story and see what she has endured and what has happened in her life. And then she has to go through catastrophe after catastrophe after catastrophe. Mm-hmm. And how is she going to find the truth for herself? So then we have a piece of the puzzle, which is a villain and a group of people who don't trust the government anymore. And they believe that the government has failed them. Mm-hmm. And they think that they can do a better job. So they want to take over. Not only Alaska, but, you know, the end goal is let's just take over the world, right? And they are cyber terrorists, and they are brilliant at what they do. And so we find out behind the scenes how they can do these things,
mm-hmm.
how vital it is for us to understand our connectivity, right? And I love technology. I use technology for mm-hmm. everything.
It's right. Wonderful.
But understanding, wow, how much we are reliant on it.
Yes. No, absolutely. You're correct. And this is just a small smidge, you know, this is just a smidge. But in the past 24 hours, we've had, what, 21 tornado alerts around us. And electricity almost went out. No, we don't have a generator at this house. And, you know, you sit there and say, okay, I have still got to be connected. I still have to get connected. But here's the other thing. You and I were together at a conference in February. And at that conference, phenomenal conference, absolutely amazing conference. And I'm grateful for that conference. So this is what happened. About a week before that conference, I was in Washington, D.C. doing one of my work events. And, you know, United States Capitol and that whole complex should be one of the most, you know, safest places in the world to be. But I didn't feel safe. And I kept noticing, and my friends kept telling me from different parts of the nation, that they noticed that the phones kept going out. Things kept getting bumped off in the cyber world, if you will. Mm-hmm. And your book, going back to your books, really depicts a reality of what we need to be pretty aware of what could happen, not to scare people. I mean, it's a suspense, it's fiction, but in many senses, the terror that's going on in our backyard is actually terrorism. The assassination attempt on Trump, that was terrorism. And the terrorism's here, and we have to be aware of that. My point in saying that is, a week later, we were at that conference, and the whole phone network went down. And it wasn't because of the conference. It was down across, what, the whole East Coast, I think it was?
I think so.
And nobody could get through. And I remember wishing, I'm a child of the 80s, thinking, I need my roller skates, because I have to get a hold of these people. And if you weren't on an Apple iPhone, you could not text. No text messages would go through. Only if you had a landline, but landlines are not used anymore, you could not make phone call to phone call. Even if you were on iPhone to iPhone, it was just text messages. But I remember saying that and warning people when I was in D.C. the week before, and then it happened the very next week. And I'm sitting here thinking, I'm not prophetic, maybe I am, but you know, we've got the reality of it is, to this audience, we have phenomenal book authors like yourself that are really bringing forth a lot of what could happen. But in all reality, you and I both know how, you know, we are connected to our phones, but how we continue to get bumped a lot. And we're seeing more and more and more of it. And I'm sure your son-in-law and the Army could say a lot to that. Obviously, his clearance is a lot higher than mine, so we can't really talk about that. But there, you know, there's that certain reality to it. But in your books, it's the suspense and then that intertwining of faith, which I really love about your books. So, okay, we could talk cybersecurity all day. But I want to pivot to that dinosaur behind you. And I want to pivot to, let's make no bones about it, your other book series and the historical series that you are really kind of building. And I know we talked a little bit of a sneak peek of something you're going to do in Washington, D.C. So let's talk about this series.
Well, actually, I forgot that I had these on my desk. So this is Eight Down. This
there is it is.
Book two. And Eight Down in the cybersecurity series, I forgot to talk about that, is the fact that our villain in book two has not gotten the attention that he wants, and he is killing people via computer, not hands-on. And it also makes us think about how connected we are. So that's just a little sneak about that. And then in 70 North, everything comes to a head. So, but this series, this is book two, which is set in stone, and this is Women in Paleontology, and the series is called Treasures of the Earth. And what I really wanted to bring out in this is the fact that people of faith and science, we've had such a hard time bringing it together since Darwin's book came out. And so this series starts in the late 1800s, soon after Darwin's book comes out, and it finishes in 1915 at the opening, 1916, of Dinosaur National Monument. So the man who is responsible quarry at Dinosaur National Monument was Earl Douglas. And Earl's granddaughter, Diane, has become a dear friend of mine, and they let me use his journals and his diaries and quotes throughout the book because it was very interesting to read his lifespan. You know, he journaled for like 40 years and reading his own struggles with his faith when the science community had gotten so staunch, and I kind of think of closed-minded, right? So there was a lot of knee-jerking on both sides. And, you know, the church is like, we can't have anything to do with science because this is what they believe now. And science was saying, well, we can't have anything to do with faith because we believe these people are now ignorant because of what was being published and, you know, what came out at that time. So I wanted to tackle that in Christian fiction because it hasn't been tackled before.
Yeah.
And I wanted to show people of faith who believe in the creator and in creation and their love for paleontology and their love for the science and what they wanted to show the glory of what God had done through it. And obviously there's a lot of suspense. So 70 North is my 40th book and we're going to have a big celebration coming up in October.
When's the party? When's the party?
In October. You want to come?
Yeah.
It'd be great. I think I'm going to have my son, like, dress up in a T-Rex costume. I think that would actually be because the third book of that one comes out in September, and then 70 North releases in October. So we're going to celebrate both of those series wrapping up. And I had a reader joke, and she goes, I wonder how many characters you have killed off in all of your books.
I wasn't ready for that.
I'm really good at killing off characters. You know, my husband says I'm good at killing people, but it, I don't kill real people, I promise.
You sound like a soap opera behind the scenes writer because you're good at killing people off. Okay, go ahead. Sorry. Okay.
So I thought, well, let's do this. This is going to be fun. Let's see who can guess how many characters I have killed off. And I don't even know how many characters I've killed off. Somebody's going to have to go and look that up. But I just think it'll be fun because apparently I just, because I love the suspense side of it. And I think that is very not only entertaining for readers, but it's educational for readers. Because my whole point is I want to point people to the truth, which is Jesus.
Yes.
And I want to challenge the believer in his or her walk with Christ. So whatever I write, I want it to do that. Because there's a lot of people anymore who won't set foot in church, you know, or they won't pick up their Bible anymore, but they'll read a story. And I think of Jesus and how he shared in stories for people to understand. And a lot of times he shared over people's head and he did it on purpose.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Absolutely.
So I've always wanted to make sure that we can educate people through books too. And I love it with my historicals when people say, you got me fascinated about this piece of history I never heard about. And so most people have never heard of the Bone Wars. And yet it's a huge piece of American history.
Yes. Well, talk to us. Can you give us a little sneak peek about the DC story that, you know, the book that you're kind of leaning in towards in the DC space? You know, I'm on the edge of my seat.
I can't.
Oh, man.
Can't.
Okay. Okay.
Although I really, really want to.
Okay. Can you give us a sneak peek into anything else?
Well, like right now, the book that I need to turn in on Monday. So I will get back to writing.
Not
that soon.
Like you're on deadline or anything.
it's called The Pianist. Well, at least tentatively right now. If the marketing people come up with something way better, obviously we will go with that. But this is another book that's been on my heart since probably 2005. Because I'm a musician and that was my life. And I thought that was what I was going to do, you know, for the rest of my life. And God called me to writing books, and I love it that he uses all this creativity. But I had this idea for a pianist in World War II and how she helps disabled people and Jewish people escape.
Oh, I'm going to cry.
Yeah, it's pretty intense, and it's been amazing to finally get this story out because it's been such a piece of my heart for so long. But I'm super excited about it. And I've had a couple of early readers who have been reading as I've been writing it, and they have loved it. So that has been a great encouragement.
Let me ask you this. How do you sleep?
You mean, do I sleep well or do I sleep?
The reason why I'm asking is this. My husband always says to me, you talk in your sleep, your brain never shuts off. And because I'm constantly... There's a creative side, right? It's a creative side to my clients, to my show, to this, and, you know, engaging with people. How can I bring these people together? How can I do, you know, it's just the constant. And with all the story ideas and the books that you bring to life, you know, it was kind of a joke in asking you that, but, you know, do we ever really sleep? I mean, you just have such an amazing bandwidth of ideas and creativity that's just, it just spews out in your books. And so many people are blessed by it. I mean, you sent me a picture yesterday holding what, 4 awards?
Yes.
Okay. That's my point.
Yeah. I was blown away. There were a few tears on Sunday, right before CPE with the award ceremony and 4 novels of the year. And that was just a wonderful, wonderful thing. Set in Stone, the one I just held up, that was one of them, and the book before it, The Secrets Beneath, also won. And so, you know, I have to credit everything to the Lord because he is the author of all. And I know that he's the one who's given me the story. And I always use the phrase that he is the story. And I am so thankful for what he's done through the stories. And I've received thousands upon thousands of letters, messages, you know, texts from readers over all these years. And it's beautiful to see how God has worked in their lives through it in ways that I didn't plan or I didn't expect. Mm-hmm. And they're like, this completely drew me back to the Lord. And that's what I really love seeing is when story is able to draw people to him, you know, to salvation. Mm-hmm. And then when story is able to draw people who have wandered away, you know, and they've just kind of been mediocre for a while. And when he draws them back to himself, to me, that's what it's all about.
No, it really is. And if I can share with the audience before we go into our next segment, Kimberly and I met because I have my radio show at WMAL. And her publicist and then our other publicists were coordinating with me and texting with me. You got to meet Kimberly. And I said, okay, we'll get it together and we'll finally get connected. And when we finally did, it was truly a God moment because it was just like this girl's, you know, party. And it just erupted with all of this excitement and energy and just a lot of love. And it was the Lord, clearly. And I remember you telling me, I hope you don't mind me sharing this, but it's like the Holy Spirit tapped you on the shoulder and shoulder and said, that's your person right there about me. And I was just like, I was blown away by that because, you know, having community, and this is just as across the board for this audience, having a community of people around you, knowing that we have come out of this whole COVID isolation thing, we were never meant to be isolated. We were never meant to be isolated. We are meant for relationship, for community. It is in scripture, in Genesis 1, 2, and 3. I can't say it enough. And I'm saying that so fresh because I'm going through Find Your People by Jenny Allen. And she talks to that. Yes, it's a good book.
Oh, good.
So what I'm saying is to this audience, it was such a God thing for, you know, you and I have traveled all over the world. We know so many people, right? But for God to say, you know, tap you on the shoulder and say, hey, that's your person. That is the absolute truth. And I am so grateful for your friendship. I'm grateful how God brought us together. And it's all because of National Religious Broadcasters. I'm putting it out there, people. Yeah. If you have nothing to do in February, head to Dallas, Texas with us. No, they didn't pay me to say that, but they do pay me. Anyway, they are the best organization, and it brings people like Kimberly into your life, and it gives you opportunities, and it shows you hope, and it shows you how to engage and be able to talk intelligently in the public square and stand up for your beliefs and, you know, just eloquently speak, whether it's on a podcast, whether it's here at the Power Hour, whether it's on WMAL, whether it's writing and book publishing. That's the place where we need to be. And I'm so grateful that we met. And I'm so grateful for your friendship. I mean, okay, that's it. Did I make you cry? I didn't mean to.
Yes, you did. You did. But thank you for that. Because, you know, I think I shared with you, with all of our national TV stuff, which is, you know, totally separate from all of the book things, but Extreme Makeover and everything, I had told Eden this. I pulled away and just my circle became very, very small. And like you said, isolation is not a good thing. For any of us. And I did just, you know, now I understand why famous people do what they do. Because it's really hard. It's really hard, especially when I'm not a famous person. I'm just a normal person, and yet we were thrust into the spotlight. And so when God says, there's your person, I have to pay attention because that doesn't happen.
No. No, it really doesn't. And I'm finding more and more now that, you know, this whole mindset of the post-COVID mindset, whether you isolate or not, I'll tell you what, I broke every rule possible. I worked for Trump during that time period. I lived in North Carolina and I was on 95 all the time going back and forth to OPM, doing my job, hanging out with people. And we weren't 6 feet apart, people. You know, that's my point. So whether you were isolated and you were in fear because of what was being told to you, or whether you just broke every rule, which I will break, you know, the point is we have got to build one another up, give each other hope, and surround ourselves with community. And yes, it is very vulnerable to do that. And, you know, we may be carrying shame. We may be carrying betrayal. We may be carrying embarrassments. But God's bigger than all that. So I know we're almost to the break and I could preach and preach and preach, but instead we're going to go right back to you. And where can people easily, we already said Amazon, they need to go buy your books, but keep up to date with you. Do you have a newsletter? I know you have a powerful website. Where can they engage with you?
KimberlyWoodhouse.com, and it's Kimberly L-E-Y, but if you spell it wrong, you'll still get there. I own the domain. You can do KimWoodhouse.com because people always spell my name wrong, and that's totally fine. But you can find me there, and all my links to my social media are there, and you can sign up for my newsletter, and I would love to connect with you.
Awesome. Thanks so much, my friend. Love you. Have a great weekend.
You too.
Come to the Power Mall today and purchase Mediterranean black seed oil from North American Urban Spice. Exclusively from the genetic source and never standardized. Cold pressed, it's so good it supports cardiovascular, respiratory, immune, digestive, neurologic health, and so much more. Said to be good for everything but death itself, come find the best prices on black seed capsules or 8-ounce varieties when you visit thepowermall.com. Or call 877-817-9829 to purchase.
Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle Tooth soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle Tooth products are all natural, like the green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle Tooth skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle Tooth moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle Tooth products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
Many Americans are growing increasingly concerned about the rapidly growing U.S. government deficits, recognizing that the additional printing of paper money devalues U.S. currency. To compensate, American gold and silver coins will provide wealth protection. U.S. Coin Capital provides physical gold and silver coins delivered directly to our clients. You can reach us at 1-800-878-2646, uscoincapital.com.
Hi, this is Linda from the Power Mall. I would like to tell you about a product that I personally take and recommend. I was very drawn to the Bone Active Topical Rub because I want to build healthy bones and prevent age-related bone loss, which so many of my friends have. Bone Active Oil contains three of the most potent mountain herbal oils known to man: sage, rosemary, and oregano. I rub it on my joints and on the bottom of my feet, and an added bonus is that it smells amazing. Not only is it potent by just rubbing it on the body, but also can be taken internally. Take advantage of the research. Use Bone Active rubbing oil and capsules to support a healthy overall bone density response. I'd love to talk with you more about this product. Call me at 877-817-9829 or learn more by visiting thepowermall.com.
And welcome back to the Power Hour. I'm Eden Gordon Hill. It is your Feel Good Friday. It's Friday, August the 9th. And I tell you what a fun show it has been. Catherine, thank you so much for giving this opportunity to bring these phenomenal Christian authors to the Power Hour. It's an honor. I'm so glad that we get to bring over to the show. This is a brand new guest for me. They have not joined me at the All-American Book Club, but we're going to make that happen as well at WMAL. We're going to bring over to the show, thanks to my friends at HarperCollins, Robert J. Morgan. He's an author, he's a speaker, and he's a Bible teacher. His most recent book, Whatever Happens, How to Stand Firm in Your Faith When the World is Falling Apart. Robert, are you there?
I am, yes.
Welcome to the Power Hour. It's great to meet you.
It's my pleasure. I'm so excited about being with you.
Oh, thank you. I have been studying up on your website. My goodness, you have a lot of books. How many books have you published thus far?
Well, we say 35. It's really more than that, but you know, it's a little hard to count because sometimes they come out in different versions or they go through different iterations or there's ancillary products with them. So 35 is a good round number.
That's a nice number. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I'm sitting here looking at the book cover for Whatever Happens. And this one, HarperCollins had recommended we talk about. It talks to, are you stressed about the current affairs of today? Equip yourself with biblical insights that will prepare you to face whatever happens next in a manner worthy of Christ. And I have to say, Robert, you know, there are a lot of people looking around at this nation and the state of affairs. You know, we had a political commentator on, faith political commentator on earlier in the beginning of the show. We talked a lot about everything that's happening in the election of 2024. We talked a lot about, you know, we literally just talked about the COVID isolation from a couple years ago. So many different things have transpired in our American, on American soil and our American history. And, you know, we are at a very pinnacle time in our nation's history now as we head into the fall. And you talk about the stress of current affairs. Are some of those, can you give some of those examples that really kind of led you to write Whatever Happens? And can you talk to basically the genesis of this book?
Yes. Whatever Happens is a phrase from the book of Philippians in the Bible, one of Paul's epistles. And it really is the key verse of the whole book, because Paul was writing from Rome. And that day, Nero was the emperor. Things were very volatile and uncertain. And Paul had been under house arrest. He maybe had been moved to a tribunal. He was facing trial, and he thought that he would be released or that the charges would be dropped. But he wasn't sure. He knew that maybe he would be executed. So he spent the first 26 verses of the book of Philippians telling the Philippians what the different options were and how he was doing, and maybe I'll be released, maybe I'll die. But then he says in verse 27, but whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Mm-hmm. And to me, that is such an important word for us, because we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what's going to happen with the election or with the Middle East or with the wars in Europe. We don't know what's going to happen with the economy, and we don't know what's going to happen personally in our own lives or families. There is so much uncertainty. But whatever happens, what we can do is to conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. And the book of Philippians tells us how to do that, so that's the essence of the book.
I absolutely love it. I'm going to run out and I'm going to add it to my Amazon book list for sure. I would love to pick up a copy. And I've been encouraging our audience here at the Power Hour to get their Kindles out, get their notepads out, and make notes, because we have provided them 2 hours packed of phenomenal book authors, and you are included in that. So thank you for bringing this to the table. I noticed your podcast. I was listening to some of your podcasts this morning. Are you finding more people corresponding with you through all of the different avenues that you are preaching and you're speaking out of Murfreesboro, Tennessee? Are they asking you specific questions that really kind of allude back to whatever happens in the book of Philippians? Are you feeling that, seeing that with the ministries that you lead in Tennessee?
Yeah, you know, I'm an expositor by trade. I'm 72 years old. I've been a pastor for over 40, going on 45 years. And so I always take books of the Bible, break them apart, teach them, and then try to apply them to where we are right now. And so whatever happens is really my treatment of the book of Philippians. And I just go through it like an expositor, but I use a lot of illustrations from my life or from current life or sometimes from historical situations. And people right now are hungry for the unchanging truth of God's word, because the circumstances are changing every single hour. If you turn on the news right now and turn it on later today, it'll be two different sets of stories, maybe, because things change so quickly. But the truths of God's word do not change. The application of it to our lives shifts from day to day, and the relevance of it is always there. But people write to me and they say, what does God have to say? And that's what people are hungry for. And we have 66 wonderful books in the Bible that answer that question. And every one of those books has its own unique message. And the joy of my life is just going through the 66 books of the Bible and trying to understand them as they were written and apply them to today's life. And so I find young people, I speak to young adults, and then I find people of all ages are very hungry for that in an era of changing scenarios. They need the unchanging truth of God to stabilize them and to get them through it.
If I may ask you about the young people segment, if you will, we had earlier on the show actress Jennifer O'Neill. She is based actually not too far from you in Nashville, and she is playing Nell Reagan in the new Reagan film coming out at the end of August. And one of the things that she brought up was our future generations, our next generation of children, bringing them up in a faith-filled environment, but also that they would know the truth, that they would know American history, that they would know who Reagan was. So many of this next generation doesn't even know they don't have the point of view or the reference point of Ronald Reagan or even 9/11 for that matter. And so I guess my question to you is, I see that you have the children's books and you've mentioned the youth. What has it been like? Have you seen a shift in culture in these next generations within your church and within your community for the better? Or is there more work that needs to be done for us in the public square?
Well, let me say, first of all, I was at a pre-screening of the Reagan film last year. It was still in production, but it was phenomenal. And I would encourage everybody to go see it. What I'm finding with young people, with young adults and with teenagers, and I not only relate to them on college campuses and at the church that I'm a part of, which is a very large church, but also I've got 16 grandchildren. And they're very often here at the house with their friends. There is a generation right now as excited for Jesus Christ as I ever was at the height of the Jesus movement in the early 1970s. They are zealous for the Lord. They have found a cause to believe in, and that cause is Christ. And it's under the surface right now. Sometimes, there'll be a revival on a campus, and it bubbles up and gets some attention. But beneath the surface right now in the United States, there is a generation that is God is just recruiting them. And I have some of them coming over tonight to swim at the pool and to have supper and to talk about the Bible. And they are just on fire for the Lord. And that encourages me so much.
I love hearing that. And I love the fact that you just said they're going to come over for supper, sit around the table, engage in conversation, that common sense kitchen table aspect of so much, I think, of what has been neglected in our culture and society. And, I was sitting here talking earlier about the new miniseries on Great American Pure Flix, Shadrach. And it talks a lot about, our faith. It talks a lot about a teenager falling in love with a horse. Her family lost a lot of things. They had to move back to the country with her grandparents. And it talks a lot about her acts of faith in this new miniseries put out by Great American Pure Flix. But the one thing that really just resonates with me and the vision of Great American Pure Flix is the fact that we are bringing back together the family around the kitchen table. It may sound old-fashioned, but you know what? We have such power when we are around the kitchen table, breaking bread together, impacting our culture, impacting our family, even greater than any presidential speech, even greater than any legislation on the Senate or House floor. We have that opportunity to speak into this next generation by opening up our homes, just like you are doing this evening. And it just inspires me. It gets me excited. It gives me hope.
Well, I'd rather work with young adults than any other group. They are the most exciting to work with. And I would say for anyone who is my age, who is listening, there are ways to engage with children, with teenagers, and with young adults. Very often, it's in the church, our local churches, where there is a tremendous need for workers with that age group. And young people, they enjoy being with other young people, but they are hungry for some mentoring. I've never seen people so hungry to be mentored or to be encouraged or to learn the Bible from an older person than young people are right now. And so, you know, if I can, it's just my favorite. My favorite ministry, I think, is when I'm able to stand in the pulpit and teach the Word of God. But dealing and working with young adults is I don't want to get too old to do that.
Mm. I love that you were doing that. And you mentioned something, that mentoring piece and that thirst for mentorship. Do you, and this is, you know, a very general question, but I'm just going to throw it out there to you for your consideration. Do you think it's because there's just such a lack of that in the public schools, in the schools across the board? I know there's a lot of Christian schools and Catholic schools, you know, rising up, and you have all these different aspects. But do you think it's because of the lack of interest in the school systems now? Do you think that they're constantly fighting against the, you know, complete opposite? Do you think that's why there's such a yearning?
I think that has a lot to do with it. There's a lot of reasons. The unconnected nature of life right now, the evils that are being perpetrated upon young people through internet and internet sources and memes, leaves them very unsettled. And the fact that the home is in crisis in America means that many of these young people didn't have the instruction. They didn't have a father figure, or they didn't have a mother figure. And then the secularism in the schools and colleges are just leaving them absolutely empty. People cannot live with the implications of a secular philosophy. The philosophical implications of secularism leave you right at a point of despair. So all of those things together, I'm praying, and I believe there will be a great revival among young people. And you know, I'm praying for a revival on the military bases. I'm praying for a revival in the prisons. I'm praying for a revival on university campuses. And I don't know that we'll see a first or second great awakening like we did in the late 1700s or early 1800s, but I do believe the Lord is at work, that He is doing something.
Oh, absolutely. I will say this to you. We were talking, I had Jennifer O'Neill, like I mentioned at the beginning of the show, when we were talking about the Great Revival, and I've had a couple conversations with her, but with also those in the faith space, we constantly believe in a Great Revival. And I do believe we are going to see this more than ever before. And I'm so thankful that you mentioned something, the revival in our military bases. I am a veteran spouse, and my husband served in Iraq. And this audience, as they are getting to know me on Fridays, you know, I will talk about our veterans and our active duty and our military appreciation. We had Cheryl Chumley on earlier in the show. She was Army, United States Army, and Air Guard, and now at the Washington Times has a huge faith background. But just waking up and realizing that our military and their families need a revival on the military bases with everything that they're coming under attack. And it's not the sincere attack of what's happening overseas, but it's really a spiritual attack more than anything. Don't you agree?
Absolutely. The far left, the secularist, the Marxist, the atheistic mindset that is so powerful right now in Washington and in our culture is trying to destroy all of the vestiges of our Judeo-Christian heritage. And the military was one of the last bastions of that. And so the leftists in our country are really targeting the military to destroy any sense of authority, any sense of Judeo-Christian structure or philosophy. They're making it very, very difficult for evangelical chaplains. We just need to keep pushing back about that. And And that brings us back to my book, Whatever Happens. Paul said in chapter 1, verse 27, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, in no way intimidated by those who oppose you. And I'm just not in the mood right now to be intimidated by the leftists. I don't have to be ugly or mean or lost in fits of temper and anger. But I'm just in no mood to let that philosophy that is doing so much destruction to so many young people have any kind of intimidation over me. Or over those that I work with or over our churches. We've got to say with the Apostle Paul, whatever happens, we're going to conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ without being intimidated by those who oppose us.
Amen to that. Well said. I applaud you, but I also am just so thankful for your service, if you will, and your ministry to this nation and what you're doing in Murfreesboro. Can you talk a little bit about your ministry in Tennessee at a greater level? And, I'm sitting here looking at your website and all of your books and all of your devotionals and your resources, and the list is long. So I want to just put out another message to our audience here at the Power Hour. I want you to go over to robertjmorgan.com, and that is all spelled out, Robert J, the letter J, Morgan, MORGAN.com, and check out all of his books, his resources, his bestsellers, his devotionals, his kids' books. I'm looking at the children's books as he's speaking. There's so many resources here, his podcast, all of the events, his speaking events. But I would love for you to share, Mr. Morgan, if you could talk a little bit about your specific ministry in Tennessee.
Well, my wife and I, when we were married, began pastoring a little church outside of Greenville, Tennessee, in a rural area. It was a wonderful little stone church. We loved it there. We were there for 2.5 years. And then a church in Nashville invited us to come. And we served there for 38 years. And my wife, for the last 20 of those years, battled multiple sclerosis. So I stepped away from being senior pastor at last to help care for her. And then she passed away, and then I thought, what do I do now? And the Lord opened doors for me to preach in various places, and I traveled and spoke and had an itinerant ministry and wrote books. But I was so weary of traveling. And then Alan Jackson, who's the pastor of World Outreach Church in Nashville, I don't know if you know that church, but you would love it. It's Alan would speak your language in terms of, and our language in terms of cultural issues. But it's a very large church. They had 36,000 people there at Easter. But he said, why don't you come over and base your ministry here and preach when I'm gone? And the Lord just opened that door for me. And so I'm associate pastor at this large non-denominational church in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, and I work alongside Alan Jackson, A-L-L-E-N, not the country singer, but the pastor. And, I write articles and books and take a few speaking engagements as I'm able to. And the Lord has just opened doors for me. You know, I look back over my life, and every door that I tried to open didn't. And the doors that I never expected, they're the ones the Lord opened for me. And it's like Fanny Crosby's great hymn, all the way my Savior leads me, what have I to ask beside?
Amen. Oh, my gosh, I love it. You know, I'm paying you a compliment on live radio, and here's why. You remind me of my grandfather, who has passed. He was a World War II veteran. He survived World War II, went on to be known as the polio pastor in the 1950s. During that polio time period, he became a quadriplegic, and he was healthy as a horse and then got polio. But my point in saying that is how you present the gospel, how you present, how it comes to life. He did the same thing. So when he was in the wheelchair, he could not use his hands. He could not get up and walk ever again. He would put a pencil in his mouth and type on the typewriter, those old-fashioned typewriters, his ministry, his basically tracts and a ministry newsletter that he would put out and would go to all the nations that he could get it out to. And it wasn't just in Pennsylvania, it was across the nation as well. And you remind me a lot of him because it is your vision, the same that he did. And I still look at his ministry notes today, and it's that you were empowering our next generation. And even though my grandfather never realized, he was empowering my generation through his writings as you are now with the next generation. So in the final minute I have left, I'm just so honored to know you, and I'm so grateful to have you here at the Power Hour. I would love to invite you over to my other radio show at WMAL on Cumulus, the All American Book Club. It airs every Saturday, and it's all about God, country, and family. And I'd love to invite you over there as well. But you are just a blessing, and thank you for basically being the final bookend to this show for this Friday. We call it Feel Good Friday because we want to inspire and give hope to our audience here at the Power Hour. Any final words from you, sir?
Well, I would be glad to talk to you anytime, anywhere. I appreciate what you're doing. I would love to read the story of your grandfather. It sounds like it would be so inspiring. And thank you so much for letting me be with you today.
Absolutely. God bless you, sir.
Same here. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Who is peeling back the darkness with the burning light of noon? Who is standing on the mountains? Who is on the earth below? Is bigger than the heavens and the lover of my soul. Creator God, He is Yahweh. Great I am, He is Yahweh. The Lord of all, He is Yahweh. Those of Sharon, He is Yahweh. The righteous Son, He is Yahweh. The free and one, He is Yahweh.
For the past 20 years, the Power Mall has been a trailblazer leading the way in providing our customers with only the best health, wellness, and readiness products. We have worked hand in hand helping to grow many small businesses, and we continue to provide exceptional customer service, educating our customers so they can make informed purchases. You can shop with confidence knowing that we have personally vetted every product that we offer. Your health and well-being means so much to us. We have championed voting with your dollars. And when you shop with the Power Mall, you are helping to keep ever so important and often censored health information in the forefront. Buy from the good guys. ShopThePowerMall.com. That's ThePowerMall.com. Or call 877-817-9829. Are you tired of trying to figure out how to get all your fruits and vegetables into your busy lifestyle? OptiVita Complete Essentials provides you with 22 whole food vitamins and minerals, 29 fruits and vegetables, probiotics, antioxidants, and botanicals for ultimate health and nutrition. 30 individual packs, now less than $3 per day. Get your OptiVita Complete Essentials by calling 877-817-9829. Or order online at thepowermall.com.
I don't know where to start. There's so many products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, you know, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the OptiVita silver lozenges. Of course, then the Oregarasp. and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.